Chapman wakes in the cold and the dark and the wet pre-dawn slush to the sound of his brother Nathaniel, already up and tending to the sputtering ashes of last night's fire, cursing and shivering, huddled beneath his only blanket. Despite Nathaniel's ministrations, the coals beneath the ashes stayed dead, the gathered wood wet, breakfast impossible. Shelling himself out from his bedroll, Chapman rises too, offering his brother a grunted good morning before stamping his cloven hooves against the frigid ground, trying to quicken blood sluggish with sleep. As first light breaks, he stalks silently away from their campsite, climbing the last ridgeline of this Pennsylvanian mountain pass to watch the night's rainfall trickle off into morning mist, admiring the fine accidental melody of clean water falling branch to branch. A moment later, dutiful Nathaniel follows along, dragging their bags and tools to where Chapman waits upon his outcropping of rock, one clawed hand raised to shield his golden eyes as he surveys the forest they'll cross today, snowpack still jamming the forest's shadows, sparkling ice coating its swampy glacial kettles and its irregular lakes. All this waiting beauty backlit now by the red shroud of sunrise, the new day's dawn setting aglow a vast world not yet fully explored. "This, brother," Nathaniel says, placing one calloused hand on taller Chapman's bare brown shoulder, waving the other out over the territory below. "This is where we'll make our fortune." Pointing out the first landmarks they're due to pass today, he traces a path out of this mountain gap and down through the slim strand of tilled earth that gives entrance to the Ohio Territory, then the way beyond into the unsettled, unmapped forest swamps of the interior, past the river bottomlands and sheltered ravines where they sowed last year's nurseries, toward the next uninhabited acres where they'll aim to plant this year's seeds. As Nathaniel happily details his plans, Chapman smiles his much-practiced smile, his sharp teeth slipping from behind his broad lips. "Look, brother," he interrupts, pointing out dim campfires barely visible through the morning mist, flickers of flame and smoke rising in far-off sheltered dales. "There are so many more of us this year." Every year these fires move deeper into the landscape, each one a distant sign of strangers come to expand the human mark, to put the land to what Nathaniel has taught Chapman are its rightful uses. Here are settlers hunting and trapping and gathering wild foodstuffs, cutting down trees and tearing up rocks to make room for placeholder farms, making way for the towns to come, while others tap trees for sap and hang tin sugaring buckets over hot coals, sometimes passing the time with amateur fiddling, the inviting sounds of their instruments carrying across even the most desolate, starless, moonless nights. Together, the brothers measure again the increasingly believable potential of this territory, its wilderness cleared by war, then emptied by treaty. As he has at the start of every other year's journey, Nathaniel tells Chapman again how this taken land can now be brought to heel by industrious men, how by many hands the foundations of a new civilization will be laid here, the land year by year made ready for the coming of more people, until one day the uncultivated earth gives way to what he says will surely be the grandest of cities, each graced by the tallest buildings and the widest avenues, all populated by an endless parade of hardy settlers planting horizon-busting fields of wind-tilted golden grain, harvesting fruitful orchards planted by these two forward-thinking brothers. Chapman and Nathaniel and these others gathered around their distant fires are only the first to come, he says. "Even if our industry should fail entirely," Nathaniel concludes, "surely we will not be the last."